Ja, I'm also a friend. It seems
I'm hearing things pre-COVID. It's coming to Mpumalanga. Yeah, it's possible. We don't know no, which direction is
good. Put your stuff in. We're not sure. Sorry, Jay. it's not here yet. COVID is always here, but the wave hasn't arrived yet.
No, that's good. I hear that it is in the Free State, Northwest, and Gauteng.
Yes, sir.
Then once it is in Gauteng, it is everywhere because those people come from all directions. Honorable members, we are just left with 1 minute to start the meeting in a quorum. It will only be when we must take decisions that we will avoid proceeding to take decisions. Now I can see we'll sing up. Yes. Let me welcome
good morning, Chairperson. Good morning. Thank you.
To the meeting. And good morning. And say this is our first meeting formally without Honorable Tong Wan, who unfortunately passed away. I know that people have been trying to inquire after they heard that she was hospitalized. Communication might not have been at its best because we also had to rely on Parliament in dealing with the matter. But all the same, there are some members who went to the Northern Cape where she was laid to rest. So I just thought we should say something about her, because we lost somebody amongst us from this virus. Otherwise, thank you very much for those who attended. I assume they attended on our behalf. We also logged in and otherwise, thank you very much. There were three members who attended, Honorable Modise, Honorable Mbata, and Honorable Gancho. So we were well represented. Thank you very much. That was my opening remarks. Otherwise, we are going to have a hectic week this week. So I hope we will be meticulous in dealing with issues and approaching the fourth when we are likely to rise. Secretary, any apologies?
Deputy Minister, so you and the Honorable Paulson have apologized.
Okay.
Thank you.
We now move to the adoption of the agenda. There's just one item besides adopting minutes. Any proposal for adoption of the agenda?
Chairperson, it's Honorable Bryant here. May I just raise an issue quickly?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
What is the issue?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, it's just with regards to the presentation from ESCOM. I know that that presentation was postponed from Eskom and Sasol, pending a court case, and there was an appearance in court which was supposed to have taken place on the 19th of May, after which Eskom then said they would be available to come and present to us. I understand now that they'll only be presenting in the next session of Parliament after we come back from recess. My only concern, Chairperson, is that we don't yet have a date set down or a firm commitment. And I think this is a very, very important item. It was something which the Portfolio Committee unanimously resolved to request that Eskom come and present along with Sasol. And I just wonder if we could get some feedback and some finality in terms of that presentation going ahead. Thank you very much. Just before we adopt this agenda. Thank you.
Well, I'm not sure if you... I think there will be some response to that. But I'm not sure about the timing when we should have the response. But as we proceed, maybe when we talk about minutes, because I think all of us, it is correct. Nobody has got a problem in Eskom and Sasol coming to present to us. I think at some point we'll get some direction from the officials who are facilitating that. Can we adopt the agenda? Any proposal?
Chairperson?
Yes,
another question. It's Singh, yeah. Good morning, everybody, and the officials and everybody else. Yeah, I move for the adoption. But just following on Honourable Bryant, I would suggest that perhaps we schedule that briefing for the first meeting that we get to when we get back after the recess. So at least we have a definite time during the committee week. Thank you.
I second, Chair. It's Mbata.
Honourable Mbata, thank you. And the agenda has been adopted. We'll now move to consideration and adoption of the minutes of the 25th of May. I'm chairing the meeting. I was not in the meeting, but
recording in progress.
I'll take you page by page. We are now on page one. Page two. Page three. What I'm looking for is corrections, if there are any, that would want to effect. Page four. Page five, page six, page six. Page seven. That is the last page. Any proposal for adoption?
Chair, it's Kanjo. I move adoption of the minutes.
Yes, thank you. Any seconder?
Honorable Chairperson. Second. Okay, it was seconded. Okay.
Any second? Yes. Yes. Any matters we don't have to leave them? Unless they are carried forward in terms of our programs.
Honorable Chairperson?
Yes.
I'm sorry that I was not there at the end of the meeting held on the 25th of May, because I was called to speak in one of the budget votes. Suddenly, one of my members didn't appear. But I note that the item of condolences to Honorable Tongwane and her family were discussed at that meeting. And I want to, on behalf of myself and the IFP, also extend our condolences on the passing of a very dear colleague, Honorable Tongwane, and may her soul rest in peace. Thank you.
Thank you. Otherwise, then we have only one item in the agenda, which is the briefing by the department, small scale fishers. I assume I've not checked the participants here. Honorable Minister. Welcome, Honorable Minister. Can I immediately hand over to you to brief the committee?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all members of the committee. And Chairperson, allow me to express my condolences to committee members for the loss of Honorable Tongwane. It has indeed been a very difficult burden to carry. And I also wish that her soul must rest in peace. Colleagues, I am accompanied by Ms. Sue Middleton, who is going to be doing the presentation on behalf of the department. I think it is important to say to honourable members that Ms. Middleton has acted in this position for a period of almost 2 years. And at a recent cabinet meeting, her appointment as Deputy Director General in this position was confirmed. So I'm pleased to say to the committee that this means that we have one less Hollywood position in the department. That having been said, honourable members, allow me to hand over to Ms. Middleton to do the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister. Good morning, Chairperson, honourable members. Can I just... is it acceptable, Chairperson, if I don't put on my video, or would you prefer to have the video on?
Well, it depends on the on those who are recording. I don't have, as long as we hear you. But if I get any indication that there's a problem, then we'll indicate that. Can proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the opportunity to present our progress as the fisheries branch and the department on support packages that have been put together for the small-scale fisheries sector. If we could go to the next slide, which outlines the outline of the presentation. We start with the background. We look at the objectives of the small-scale fisheries policy. We would look at the support that is currently being provided to small-scale cooperatives. the interventions, challenges and solutions, and then some of the mitigating measures that we are putting in place. So since the Marine Living Resources Act was amended in 2015 to accommodate the small-scale fishing sector and to add to the definitions of small-scale fishers, much progress has been made in rolling out the small-scale fishing sector and rights therein. And the table on the slide is a breakdown of declared small-scale fishers that have been registered in the various provinces. And as you will know, in three provinces, the Northern Cape, the Eastern Cape, and KZN, the cooperatives have been issued 15-year fishing rights. In the Northern Cape, there are two cooperatives based in Hoornklipbaai and Port Nolloth, and there are 103 registered and recognized small-scale fishers in those two cooperatives. In the Eastern Cape, where there are the majority of cooperatives, there are 72 across the province, representing 5,335 small-scale fishers. In KZN, there are 35 registered and recognized cooperatives, comprising of 2,184 members. And the Western Cape is currently under review. As members will know, the minister approached the Western Cape High Court on the 24th of May this year. The court agreed to set aside the process in the Western Cape and to restart the process. And that is what we are busy with currently. Before we move off the slide, just also, and maybe Honourable Singh will be interested in this, as we speak, there is a meeting taking place in KZN this morning with a grouping of subsistence fishers, and the purpose of the meeting is to look and see whether they can be accommodated within the fishing sector. Next slide, please. The objectives of the policy, I'll go through those. The first one is to create a sustainable, equitable, and small-scale fishing sector. The issue here was that when fishing rights were allocated in 2005, the small-scale sector was omitted. And was not recognized. They took us to court and to the Equality Court, and the department was instructed to develop the small-scale fishing sector, and that's what, and the small-scale fishing policy was adopted, giving recognition to small-scale fishers. The other objectives are to secure the well-being and livelihood of small-scale fishing communities, to maintain the health of marine ecosystems, to uplift fishing communities by providing appropriate support mechanisms, education and training, infrastructure, capacity building, and participatory management practices. And that's what this presentation will focus on. The other objectives are to establish co-management structures and governance structures for nearshore marine living resources. It takes the fundamental human rights into account and is guided by the principles of the Marine Living Resources Act, as well as South Africa's international obligations in various regional fisheries management organizations. And lastly, it gives due regard to promoting interests of women, disabled, and child-headed households. Next slide. The support to cooperatives. The small-scale fisheries policy acknowledges the general shortcomings and poverty of fishing communities, and the relatively low levels of education of the fishers. It emphasizes the need for government to prioritize and facilitate support programs in order to equip and capacitate small-scale fishers. And to this end, the department has been engaging with various organizations, such as other government departments, government agencies, NGOs, the private sector, and very importantly, municipalities. And the next few slides will look at some of the interventions that have been implemented. Next slide. Right, so in terms of the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, at the moment we are facilitating the registration of a secondary cooperative and the development of a business plan in the Tswane-Mankosi area. This involves two cooperatives. One cooperative was granted 15-year fishing rights, and the other cooperative has a fish processing factory. And the service provider was recently appointed and is currently working with the cooperatives to facilitate their registration. In the OR Tambo District Municipality, in the Nguza Hill community, business entrepreneurship training was provided to one primary cooperative. Also in the OR District Municipality, the municipality has committed to providing fish processing equipment, such as refrigeration to small-scale fishing cooperatives. And the department is currently waiting for the municipality to confirm the delivery date. Next slide. The National Skills Fund, a training center and holding tanks were built in the Coffee Bay area. A total of 12 fishing primary cooperatives were handed containers designed to be used as holding tanks for live marine species, and 7 additional containers and generators are currently being handed over to 7 additional cooperatives. And the second bullet is a list of the 9 primary cooperatives who have been supported in by the National Skills Fund in the Coffee Bay area, and therefore your reading. Next slide. The South African Fisheries Development Fund. The fund continues to support the Northern Cape cooperatives with various training interventions and the provision of personal protective equipment. This took place during the national lockdown in partnership with the department, but the fund continues to support the co-ops with PPEs in the Northern Cape. The Oceana Group is currently providing training interventions for small-scale fishing communities in the Berge area. The training is planned for all cooperatives in the Eastern Cape and KZN. The program has been developed and the training has started this month and will continue throughout June in KZN and the Eastern Cape. And this training focuses on business management and cooperative training. Next slide. First National Bank is in the process of assisting with the opening of bank accounts for all cooperatives. The bank has opened a number of accounts for cooperatives and individual members, and they are providing on-the-ground support in these communities. This work started in May and will continue this month, June. The National Skills Fund has approved the training of all cooperatives under the OR Tambo District Municipality, the Alfred and Zor District Municipality, and the Amatola District Municipality. The training will focus on business acumen, safety at sea, the value chain, marketing, processing, etc. And logistics and procuring of training providers are underway, and training will take place soon in those districts. The Department of Rural Development and Agrarian Reform has procured fishing equipment for small-scale fishing cooperatives in Port St. John's. The national lockdown has caused delays in the handing over of the equipment. We did contact the department last week, and they have confirmed that the handover is pending, but a date for the handing over of the equipment will be announced shortly. Next slide. Still in the Worldwide Fund, the WWF has entered into a partnership with the department for a fisheries improvement project in the Kochelberg area in the Overberg, Hamburg in the Eastern Cape, and Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape. The Kochelberg project site has been delayed as a result of the Western Cape court action, but the Hamburg project site is operational and is being capacitated by WWF. The KZN Economic Development, Tourism and Environmental Affairs Department is assisting with the procurement and installation of fish processing plans for small-scale fishing cooperatives under the Ugu District Municipality, and they have budgeted for 9 cooperatives during this current financial year, the 2021 financial year, and bids for the purchase of refrigerated containers was published in March of this year, as well as briefing of potential bidders. And the successful bidder is set to work for a 6-month period with an estimated completion time of September, October 2021. Next slide. The KZN Department of Economic Development, Tourism, Economic Affairs, and Moses Kutane Institute, they have begun of assisting cooperatives with business management skills. And a number of cooperatives have been assisted in that area. And the names of the cooperatives are there for, there are 11 cooperatives, and the names are there for your reading. In the Alemba District Municipality, they are assisting 3 cooperatives with the purchase of fishing equipment. And the cooperatives will be supported from June onwards, and the 3 additional cooperatives have also been assisted in this district municipality. Next slide. Challenges experienced in the rollout of the support programs. The first is the national lockdown. Most of the cooperatives were granted fishing rights in March. In fact, Minister handed over 15-year fishing rights to cooperatives in the Umtata area 2 days before the national lockdown. And this has obviously impacted on the department's ability to lend hands-on support as a result of travel restrictions. And it's also affected the cooperatives' ability and their to perform, and their and they've had limited operations. Since the various alert levels have been announced under the Disaster Management Act, travel and gathering restrictions have affected our ability to facilitate support interventions at a community level. That has obviously changed since alert level 1 and 2, and interventions have started in May and in June. Next slide. We've also experienced funding challenges, mainly as a result of government institutions having to reprioritize budgets in order to fund COVID-related programs. And in particular, the Department of Small Business Development was on board, but their budget has been reprioritized to support businesses in stress. And so what the department has done is we've strengthened partnerships with district municipalities, and we have influenced the IDPs to ensure that support programs for small-scale fishers are incorporated into the IDPs, as well as the district models. And we are having continuous engagement with government departments mandated to support SMMEs. Markets and infrastructure is the other challenge. Obviously, the impact of COVID-19 has affected cooperatives' abilities to access markets. In particular, COVID-19 resulted in a drop in demand from Asian markets for fresh fish products. There has been limited infrastructure to further develop cooperatives. So the interventions have been to look at facilitating the development and promotion of local markets, such as access to restaurants, hotels, local fish markets, and so on. We've prioritized infrastructure projects under the Working for Fisheries program aimed at supporting and capacitating small-scale fishers. And we've strengthened partnerships with district municipalities to include small-scale fishers and support packages in their IDPs and the district model. Next slide. Another challenge is the limited basket of nearshore marine resources that are available for the small-scale fisheries sector. And what we've done there is that with the commercial sectors that are due for reallocation under FRAP 2020-21, the department will be announcing an upfront apportionment split between small-scale fishing and local commercial sectors so that it will be known what is available for small-scale and what can be allocated to commercial to avoid the situation of all this fish being allocated to the commercial sector. We also face capacity issues. At the moment, the Directorate of Small-Scale Fisheries Management, which is responsible for the development of the small-scale fisheries sectors and to providing support to over 120 cooperatives in the four coastal provinces, only has a permanent staff of 7, which includes the director and the director's personal assistant. And the other challenge there is that department services are not easily accessible to fishing communities, particularly outside of the Western Cape. And so the solution there is that the branch is currently restructuring and prioritizing the Directorate on Small-Scale Fisheries Management. And we are in the process of appointing additional contract staff for a 2-year period. And we are also looking to decentralize the department services and to have fishery development workers in all the coastal provinces. Next slide. As members are aware, there have been delays in the Western Cape, and the Western Cape High Court on the 24th of May supported the minister's request to have the process set aside in the Western Cape. and gave the department permission to contact all the affected parties using a variety of media platforms and not just written communication, as is normally the case. And the department is busy making contact with over 8,000 people who were applied originally. We're using bulk SMSs. Our fishery development workers are making contact with people in communities, and information is available from our compliance offices in all along the coastline. Next slide. And then lastly, other additional mitigating measures that the department will be implementing is to facilitate partnerships with other government departments and the private sector to ensure comprehensive support programs. We have developed a strategy for the rollout of the support programs in the current financial year and provided a budget internally for that. We will be prioritizing the finalization of the verification and allocation of fishing rights in the Western Cape. We will shortly be announcing the apportionment split for the nearshore sectors that are also suitable for and qualify as small-scale fishing sectors. And we will be improving the capacity of the directorate to service small-scale fishing cooperatives and to be more accessible to small-scale fishing communities. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, with your permission, I would just like the acting DDG legal service, regulatory compliance and legal services, just to clarify where we are with regard to the court case for small scale, because I think that there's a bit of a bit of a more nuanced position. So if we could allow Ms. Vanessa Benderman just to clarify that for the committee.
Yes, no, she's allowed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honourable Members. I just want to clarify that we were granted an order on the 24th of May. Basically, what the court has granted us at the High Court of Western Cape was leave to serve our papers on the affected applicants by publishing a notice in various newspapers, by broadcasting on various radio stations, also making copies of the application available at the local fishery control offices, by sending out bulk SMSs, and by service on identified community leaders. So basically, once that service is completed, the affected parties, applicants that may be affected, have 30 days within which to file either an opposition to the matter. And once we have provided that 30-day opportunity, we will thereafter be in a better position to know whether there will be opposition and how this matter will proceed. We are hoping to have service completed by June. So we're hoping by end of July to know exactly what the position is regarding whether there is going to be opposition or not for the application. So based on the responses to the notices, the matter will be set down either on the opposed roll or the unopposed roll, and further papers will then be filed in response thereto. I hope this clarifies the legal position. Thank you, Minister, Honourable Members and Chair.
Thank you. Does that cover everything, Honourable Minister? Can I now ask members? Yes. Okay. Honourable Members, This is your time now to ask questions. I see Honorable Singh, number one. Honorable Bryant, number two. For now, I see those two hands. Honorable Singh.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to you, Minister. I didn't realize you were online. And to all the my colleagues again. Firstly, let me start off by congratulating Ms. Sue Middleton on having been appointed to the DDG position. And as you said, Honorable Minister, we move away from Hollywood now and we get to action. This is going to be an action movie with the DDG there responsible for this directorate. So congratulations, Ms. Middleton. Secondly, thank you for the presentation that's been made. A lot of progress has been made with regard to small-scale fishers. And thank you for mentioning the subsistence fishers. From my information suggests to me through your chair that that meeting that's taking place, well, this afternoon in Port Shepstone, tomorrow in Scottborough, and on the next day in Durban, deals with the Aliwal Shoal Marine Protected Plan. And I don't know if subsistence fishers are going to talk about anything else but the plan, but I have requested the PLO, Temba Gift Mguni, to forward me yesterday the draft plan so that we could look at it. But perhaps, Honorable Minister and Ms. Middleton could tell us, once these public comments have been received, what process will be followed? Will all those comments and your final recommendations or your draft recommendations come to the committee for us to look at and make an input if we have to? So that's the first question on the interaction that's taking place currently at the moment. The second thing is, we did speak once before, Minister, in this committee about amendments to the MRL, Marine Living Resources Act, and definitions in particular, where we said, I think, that you will try and bring in the definition of subsistence or recreational fishers, because I think this was very important during the first level 5 lockdown, when certain benefits were provided to some fishers and not to others. So I don't know how far that process is gone, and whether or not the process of other participants establishing cooperatives in their areas, will that be open, and when will that be open? Because there were some challenges that some fishers had in coming together and going to the offices and forming these cooperatives. My last two questions will focus around the capacity of district municipalities to assist these cooperatives. I note that Ugu, they did promise some work to be done. I don't know if that's been accomplished. Ilemba is doing some work. And speaking for KwaZulu-Natal, I find that the northern district municipalities have not been mentioned. And we've got, you know, I think the poorest of the poor folk who rely on fishing for subsistence come from the northern areas of the province, Manguzi and the Maputaland areas. So I would like to know, you know, what kind of cajoling with those district municipalities going to be done so that they can support the small-scale fishers in those particular areas. And lastly, I think the department capacity problems, I think, Minister, maybe Chinese bookkeeping or Indian bookkeeping or environments or something to beef up capacity within this very, very important division of small-scale fisheries. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can I go?
Yes, now you can go.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to echo Honourable Singh's congratulations to Ms. Middleton on her appointment, and looking forward to seeing steady and great progress going forward under her leadership. Just a couple of things. The first one is with regards to the cooperatives. And I did note that there are a significant number of cooperatives that have been set up in the Eastern Cape, and it's great to see. But if one compares that to the numbers in KZN or in the Western Cape, the numbers in those two provinces are still quite low comparatively, particularly the Western Cape, where we do have, you know, the most significant portion of the fishing industry. I just want to query around why that is, why we have, you know, a comparatively low number of cooperatives if one compares that to the Eastern Cape. And then just generally, I know the minister's court action is broadly welcomed and we've welcomed it as well, but it's going to be a process that's going to take quite some time. And hearing from the legal advisor, or the legal representative, even though we're going to start to see some action June, July, it's still going to take quite a while before that process is concluded, from what I understand. My concern is that quite a lot of things in the Western Cape seem to be almost on hold at the moment, if one looks at certain aspects of that presentation. And my concern is mainly that, you know, during that time, how are we going to be addressing those issues, and whether there is a plan in place to ensure that the Western Cape isn't left behind while this process is underway. And then just on a slightly different point, if Ms. Middleton will indulge me, and it's more in terms of the outstanding permit applications. I know this is a major issue for people within the industry. I know that there are approximately 50 permit applications that haven't even been processed yet. I know there is a severe backlog. I know some of the socioeconomic impact assessments have also apparently been carried out, but there's a little bit of uncertainty from the industry as well in terms of how those were carried out and their veracity. So if I could just get a bit of comment on that. But other than that, I welcome the work that has been done so far, and thank you for the presentation.
Honourable Modise.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Good morning to the colleagues and to the minister. Let me join the chorus and welcome Ms. Middleton to the department on her appointment and congratulate her. I only have one concern, Chair. I thought that Ms. Middleton was going to go to town on her presentation on page 14 as it relates to staff capacity. The presentation says there's only about 7 people. This includes the director and the personal assistant. These people who are full-time, and part of their mitigating strategies is to put contract staff for 2 years. So I just wanted to ascertain if that will help us move as per Honorable Singh. Will we be able to achieve the targets that we have set, and will we be able to discharge the mandate that has been bestowed upon this particular branch of the department? That's the only concern I have, Chair. Thanks.
I'm not sure, Honorable Singh, you want to come back?
Yes, Chairperson, there was just one question. Sorry about this. But since we have the minister online, I just want to take advantage. I noticed on page 8, there's reference to the Oceana Group. I don't know if it is the Oceana Group that we are aware of, because I've been getting some correspondence and reading also in the newspaper about challenges within the ownership and the BBBE status of Oceana Group and some challenges. I don't know if the minister wants to comment on it, or is it not this Oceana Group that we are referring to? Thank you.
We'll now allow the department to respond.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Let me just say to Honourable Singh, I'm sure there's only one Oceana Group. I don't really want to comment on their ownership, but obviously ownership and percentages of ownership are relevant for any company when applying for fishing rights. And obviously those matters are are not subjective matters, but they're matters where evidence would have to be presented in a rights process, in a rights allocation process. I'm sure Ms. Middleton can further expatiate on that. But what I wanted to refer to, Honourable Singh, was in the beginning when you were asking questions, you spoke about the Aliwal Shoal process. That is not a fisheries process. That is the process of consultation around the marine protected area and also the marine spatial planning issues. And that is a process that is being conducted by Oceans and Coasts. So it's not linked to this process that we're discussing today. I think Ms. Middleton will tell you how and when we are going to be meeting those fisher persons in the KZN area that may not have originally included themselves in the small scale rights process. Colleagues, can we just remember that we've agreed that the amendments to the Marine Living Resources Act is a process we'll go through next year, not this year. And obviously, you as a committee, you'll be fully involved in that process because clearly lawmaking is your core business. So I would want to suggest that those processes wait for next year. So let me pause there and let's allow Ms. Middleton to answer the other questions. Just the one issue that Honourable Bryant is raising on the sales. Honourable Bryant, I did over the weekend interact with the CEO of Fish SA on the sales issue. I think that there had been a misunderstanding amongst industry players with regard to the sales process. I think that the sales process had been understood to be a process that was a full-scale socioeconomic study. We did clarify to the CEO that this process is an assessment as to whether existing policy environment in fisheries, and we would understand that really there would be two objectives in fisheries policies. The first objective would be to ensure sustainable use of the country's fishing stocks so that there is sufficient fish for current generations and also for future generations. And the second objective of our fisheries policy would be to ensure transformation of the fisheries sector. What the sales are looking at is, do the existing policies help us to achieve those objectives? If they assist us, is there a requirement to get rid of those policies and get new ones? Or is there a requirement that those policies regard review and improvement? And or is there a situation that the policies are fine and they don't require any review or improvement? And my understanding is that yesterday Ms. Middleton was able to meet with the industry and to explain the view of the department that we do have existing policies to help us to achieve those objectives, and that those objectives, the existing policies require improvement, but they do not require getting rid of them altogether and starting from scratch. So my understanding is there was that interaction and clarification with the industry yesterday. I was contacted by the CEO last night, and he did indicate that it did happen and it was a helpful process. So I think that there has been clarification around that. I'm going to leave the rest of the issues for Ms. Middleton to answer.
Thank you, Minister, Chairperson. Firstly, let me start by thanking all the members for your well wishes on my appointment into this very challenging portfolio. But I'm excited and looking forward to taking the challenges head on. In terms of Honourable Singh's questions, I think Minister has clarified that there are two separate meetings that are taking place in KZN. The one is negotiations and consultations around MPAs, but the meeting I was talking about is a virtual meeting that is taking place this morning with a group of fishers who call themselves subsistence fishers from the Durban area in particular. And that meeting was scheduled to start at 10 o'clock, I believe. In terms of, Minister has also confirmed that the review of the Marine Living Resources Act will only take place next year, because this financial year, our priorities are concluding the FRAP process and the Western Cape process. It's very difficult to preempt a review of a piece of legislation and what the outcome will be, but we can confirm that it will be the subject of extensive public consultation, and we will be looking at the definition of subsistence fishers and whether they will be accommodated within the amendment. In terms, Honourable Singh, you also asked about the Oceana Group. I can confirm it is the Oceana Group, and the Oceana Group have set up a training academy to provide training support, not just to small scale, but to various fishers within the commercial sector as well. We are aware that a group of trustees have lodged a complaint or a grievance regarding payment of shares and various other allegations against the Oceana Group. What the department has done is referred this complaint to the Competitions Commission for investigation, and we are awaiting their investigation and their recommendations, and we will act on the recommendations accordingly. Honourable Bryant, you asked about Western Cape numbers. I think there's a perception that the majority of fishers are located in the Western Cape. But if you look at the history of small-scale subsistence and artisanal fishing, by far the majority of fishers who are reliant on nearshore fisheries, fish species, are located in the Eastern Cape. Perhaps the Western Cape fishers are a little bit more vocal, and they certainly within their communities there are lots of tensions and conflict. So I think they get more publicity and media coverage than their counterparts in the Eastern Cape and KZN. We do have a plan in place to expedite the review of the process in the Western Cape. We will be appointing a service provider to assist with the capacity shortages. And Honourable Bryant, while we are redoing and restarting the process of small-scale fisheries, the current dispensation remains in place. In other words, in the Western Cape, all those who are on the interim relief dispensation, as well as those who were formally recognized as small-scale fishers, have permission to continue to fish until the outcome of the allocations to the small-scale fishing cooperatives is finalized in the Western Cape. So things are not on hold. The current dispensation applies. Honourable Bryant, in terms of delays and backlogs in permit applications, we can confirm that there has been a little bit of a backlog caused by two issues. The one was having to go to an online application process very quickly. Prior to the lockdown level five, applicants had to apply for permits and licenses in the Cape Town office. We had to quickly move to an online process, and we did experience some teething issues. The second factor was that our IT and email domains migrated in March from the previous Department of Agriculture to the new Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment. That also caused interruptions, which have since been resolved. So our solution to dealing with the backlog is that in my capacity as the acting DDG, granted an exemption to right holders that they can continue to fish on an old permit, provided that they are able to provide proof that they have applied for their new permit. And that exemption has been extended until the end of June this year. We have, in fact, immediately after this meeting, we have a meeting to look at the backlogs and ways of dealing with them before the end of June. The Minister spoke about the sales. I confirmed that I did meet with Fish SA yesterday and hopefully was able to clarify the situation regarding the sales. The feedback I also received, Minister, was that there was some confusion, which has hopefully been resolved. Honourable Medise, in terms of the capacity, yes, we are. There is no budget for the creation of new posts. So what we are doing is we've created two posts additional to the establishment. We have also advertised and interviewed for the vacant director post, which hopefully will be filled within the month. And then we have other officials in another section. Not in small-scale fishers, the Directorate of Small-Scale Fisheries Management. They're called fishery development workers. And what we've done is we've reassigned them allocated their capacity to the Directorate of Small-Scale to augment the existing capacity. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any follow-ups, honourable members? Okay. It doesn't look like I have any hand. Maybe our summary would be to say, whilst individual members were welcoming the appointment of the DDG, they were doing it on behalf of the committee. So we welcome you, DDG, in your new appointment. Minister, it looks like there's no further questions, comments. If there's anything you want to say before we close.
No, thank you, Chairperson. I think that Ms. Middleton.
Minister.
Can you not hear me, Honourable Chair? I'm saying that I think Ms. Middleton has answered all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, thank you very much for participating in the meeting. We have come to the end of this session. Can I close the meeting?
Yes, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
The meeting is closed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye.